Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. A special topic for you today is called The Road to Consciousness, in adverse to the road of unconsciousness or no consciousness. So we're going to talk about power today, personal power, awareness, and we're going to talk about God and the Christ consciousness and all that stuff that everyone loves to discuss. And, you know, it blows my mind sometimes when I think about percentage-wise how many people on this planet are really conscious and how many people are not. In my opinion, there's three kinds of people. There are those that are not conscious, there are those that are conscious, and then there are those that are higher consciousness. So I'd have to say that we could divide the planet in three ways. People that are walking around dumbfounded, they don't know anything about what the universe is about. People that are recently conscious are rebirthed into the light of the spirit and suddenly have a hunger for it. And then those that have continued on the path of being conscious and of being able to come in touch with the superconscious mind or the higher conscious mind. Sometimes I have to be reminded. Oftentimes I need, even Farley Malaris, right? I must be reminded of the higher self, of the higher mind, of the power, and of the potential. In retrospect, I constantly refer to The Course in Miracles, which is an excellent book that you should pick up, by the way, at most of our metaphysical bookshops, or the course actually which you can attend, which is so unbelievable, which literally gives you the obvious choice between love and fear, okay, as far as living your life and what type of vibration you want to choose, to either be loving or fearful. And I am inspired by Carol Weiss, one of our members who I was talking to yesterday about this issue. But oftentimes, we do live in so much fear that many of us, if not masses of us, are frightened to embrace or accept the fact that we have power. I'm also reminded of the propaganda and of the way that the fundamentalist values in the ancient religions have been totally distorted to remove the power from the individual and place it outside of the individual. When looking at a videotape that one of our wonderful members, May Shaw, sent me the other day, which was about a man in New Jersey, Fork River, New Jersey, who was explaining the astrological elements in the Revelation chapter of the Bible, completely blew me away. I'm going to go visit this guy. I was so impressed that the restoration of the power of the individual and the power of the Christ consciousness that lies within each and every individual is right there in the Bible. If you read between the lines and you know how to interpret the Bible metaphysically, then you're going to discover that the return of the Messiah, the return of the Christ, literally, is a consciousness that is welling up inside, that has always been there inside the hearts and minds of millions and millions and billions of people. The sad thing, of course, is that much of the planet is in an unconscious state because they are waiting for one man or one individual to come and save us from the doom and the Holocaust and the tragedy that is upon us. But frankly, the only way we will truly be saved is a restoration of the spirit and of the essence and the priority of the consciousness which dwells within. You know, once you become conscious and once you overcome your fear to let go of primitive thoughts that had been used throughout the centuries to dominate others, I want you to know that religion, and no offense, because I am a very religious person, very spiritual person, and I do understand basic concepts of many religions, although maybe not all of them, but many religions are established to have heads of their religions to make the rest of the people involved in the religion, the followers, not equal to the ones that are in charge or to the saviors that would appear or come around and help preserve them or whatever. And many of the religions are based on threats and punishment that if you don't follow the philosophy the way we say you should, then you're doomed to eternal damnation. Interesting thing about life is that we all have the answer at our very fingertips and within the body. In other words, if you're a person that takes the time to open your mind and takes the time to learn how to meditate, as far as I'm concerned, meditation has a laser type effect. Just like when you shine the light through a ruby quartz crystal, you get a laser beam. When you meditate and you are able to enlighten your own being, then you are able to lift up into your own consciousness and therefore become conscious. So human beings are very close to crystals and lasers in that way, as far as meditation being a key to elevating consciousness and to become aware of further truths that are beyond what's written in books or beyond what is taught to us by people who pretend to know or understand or dictate the rules of God or the universe or whatever. So I like that. I like meditation. I also like crystals because crystals are actually used as a metaphysical transmitter to help us plug into these more rarefied states of consciousness that are just beyond our reach. If we just seek them, we can find them. All right? But, you know, the point is that many times when we live our lives, we live our lives, especially during some of these tough transits, in a situation where we feel hopeless, or we feel worried, or we feel frightened or negative. We see all these things in the movies, on television, all these horror movies and movies that depicting rapes, and we hear about these campus rapists and these serial killers and war in El Salvador and gangs and drugs and this and that. So we're walking around right away, and it's like we need body armor and a machine gun and a shotgun and a lead wall to protect us from the rest of society. And it's true that it is a jungle out there. I'm not trying to tell you it's not, and I'm not trying to tell you that you shouldn't be cautious and or even defensive to protect yourself. You don't want to walk down a dark alley in Hollywood in the middle of the night with a sexy skirt on, whether you're a man or a woman, right? But at the same time, when we do wrap ourselves up in some of the trivial problems that do beset us and affect us, then this energy can compound and can weigh us down terribly. It can anchor us. It could actually prevent productivity and progression. And so many of us, because we are human, we are subject to setbacks. Even though we try to be spiritual and we try to be conscious, we are still subject to setbacks. Oh, we got an insurance bill for $1,700. Or, oh, we got the registration for the car. That's $250. Or, wow, rent's due on top of that. And plus, oh, the radio station payment is due. And, you know, I'm talking about my own life, right? They can look at my bills this week, which are like $4,000, but that's okay. And you know, you take a look at this stuff, and it can really weigh you down. But the truth of the matter is that this experience that we are living right now is not home. We are travelers. We are visitors. And we are participators and students in a realm of incredible complexity and incredible knowledge. In other words, there is much power to be gained in this realm, because in order to discover the key to power, you must overcome all of the effects from this realm, this third dimension, which can be darn bothersome, I'll tell you. Oftentimes when I meditate, or when I am able to find a quiet moment, when I can give myself, when I can give Farley Malaris 30 minutes to an hour of peace and calmity and restoration and healing and prayer and meditation, where I can kick back with my crystals in my lounge chair and close my eyes and focus on my mantra or my positive affirmations and allow myself to go into an alpha state of consciousness, a daydream state, or maybe a theta state, then all of a sudden I find that there are things in life that I can see that are not quite visible when I'm awake with my eyes open. And it's almost like going into a meditative state allows me to be more conscious than I think I am when I'm walking around with my eyes open. You know, there are a lot of geniuses. There are a lot of so-called self-exclaimed geniuses that are walking around on this planet today, and they even have their own television shows late at night, right? Hint, hint. That think they know everything, and they think they can call a panel of experts on there to talk about life and God and religion and abortion and everything, like they know the final answer to all of it. And, you know, I would have to say, I'm sorry, but a lot of intellectuals I know that are totally left-brain people have never meditated a day in their lives. And if you try to talk to them about Christ consciousness or messianic qualities of a human being, they'll laugh. And these are people that are supposed to be smart. But they will laugh or turn the cheek when you start talking about this. And they think they're smart. In fact, they're people that own their own television shows, and they're supposedly bringing experts on that know all the answers and such. You know, and that's what I think sometimes the problem is with this planet. that we have so many left-brain people in power. You know, and if you don't know the difference between the left and the right side of the right side of the brain is the intuitive side of the brain. It is the ladder, it is the mountain, it is the elevator to the soul. And it is our window to other realms of consciousness. The left side of the brain is everything that is 20th century, everything that is third dimensional. It is the material, it is the logical, it is the practical. It is sometimes what appears to be the obvious. The right side of the brain allows us to focus on a part of our nature that is godlike in quality. You get a lot of these intellectual people that think they know all the answers. Well, maybe that's why we're in so much trouble on this planet. And maybe that's why we are going through so many changes. You see, the individual, each and every one of us, has the prototype within us. The prototype. The original essence of an entity, of an individual. You can call it Adam, or you can call it Jesus, or whatever. We have the prototype inside of us, each and every one of us, that allows us to access the sum total area of consciousness that is God. Every one of us. You can call that the Father, or you can call it the Mother, or whatever. We all have the prototype inside of us. You cannot have a human being without a prototype, and from the prototype sprung the rest of us. So we are like a huge family tree. And serving as the prototype of this type of energy alerts me to the fact that the knowledge and the power and the potential that we have is unlimited. In fact, it is eternal. It is infinite. It is omnipresent. It is omniscient. And if you had nothing better to do but to fast perhaps on fresh water and fresh vegetables and fruits, and nothing better to do but to kick back and meditate every day and pray and not focus so much on the trivial matters of your life, the left brain trivia, then I kind of tend to think that eventually, if you really were in a state where you were ready to meet this side to yourself, and I have done this, frankly, I'm not trying to be egotistical, and I'm not trying to say I've reached the highest high, but I will say that I have accessed a part of my consciousness and a part of the universal consciousness that was so supernatural in its result that it actually changed me from that day on, and I was never the same again. And I was able, even though I was not able to let go of all of my fear in Choice for Love, I was able to let go of a major block of the fear by accessing this part of my essence. I happened to be in China at the time in 1976, and I was in Hong Kong and Kowloon, and I was in a hotel room with nothing to do and no one to relate to because I didn't speak the language and I felt like pretty strange. I was there for about a week and I was able to meditate and pray and fast much of the time that I was there. So I allowed myself to pull away from my routine and access this part of the consciousness that exists. So I, in effect, really became conscious at that point. I crossed over on the road to consciousness. Now, you know, once you get there, once again, like I say, and like what the Course in Miracles talks about, is when it comes to becoming more aware and lifting your consciousness and plugging into this prototype, this messianic quality. And if I'm sitting here telling you that you're the one that's sitting there, right, on the floor or in your car or in the beach or whatever at home, and you're sitting there looking at all your bills and maybe some of your problems and your mortgage payments and your relationships that may not be perfect, and also all these little stress and nervousness you have, right? And I'm sitting there telling you that you have the same exact prototype that a Moses or that Jesus Christ or a Muhammad or whatever, Rama, right, Buddha, any of these masters that many people worship and follow like they were like unto gods. You know what a groupie is? You know what a fan is? A fan is somebody that is so overwhelmed with a person like Michael Jackson or Bruce Springsteen or Jane Fonda or whatever, Bo Derek, that they idolize them. And some people, when they see me in person for the first time, they look at me and they go, gosh, there's Farley. But I have the same prototype inside of me that you have inside of you. And just like Michael Jackson or just like Bo Derek or just like George Bush or whatever, we all have this same quality, this same potential to reach the highest high, to plug in and access all the knowledge of the universe. That's right. We are one. And we have this messianic quality that given the opportunity, when you're sitting around, especially when you're in a period in your life, say, that you just can't even sleep, what better time to sit down and close your eyes and form your own meditation? If you took half the time you spent worrying and reclined yourself on the couch or in a chair and decided to meditate on some positive mantras, just like a mantra like I am. I am. Just a mantra, I am. That's it. Or ohala. Or owala. Or you can just create any mantra you want that makes no sense to you at all. Just some kind of a three-syllable word that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And use that word to focus in your mind, in your conscious mind, with your eyes closed, and repeat it over and over and over again. That's what meditation is. Meditation is like taking a word. Like, let's say we had a word that didn't mean anything, and we called it kanadala. 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 A word like that. What I would do is find myself a center, a space where I could recline and sit down with that mantra. If I would assign it as my mantra, I'd never speak it aloud ever again. I might write it down once and memorize it and then throw that piece of paper away or tear it up or burn it or whatever. Destroy the paper. It existed to give that mantra a spiritual significance, not a material one. And then I put myself into a relaxed state and I'd say that mantra, kanadala. Kanadala. You know, the way you say it might change. Kanadala, kanadala. When you hear it in your mind's eye, in your voice, when you go into higher levels of consciousness, it doesn't sound like human speech anymore. It might start off as kanadala, but it might end up like kanadala, kanadala. Or might be stretched out for 5 minutes, one word. Kanadala. It's so easy to meditate that we waste so much time worrying and stressing ourselves out and fretting over these transits that are happening. These transits, any astrological transit, I'll tell you something. Astrology is a sacred part of the roots of what we now refer to as the fundamentalist religion. Astrology and metaphysics are the sacred part of what Paul in the Bible referred to as the holiest of holies. You know, Paul in the Bible several times mentioned that we as individuals can access the holiest of holies. What do you think that is? Well, that's the messianic self. And when you do access this part of yourself, you're going to become aware of certain parts of your own consciousness that you never knew you had. You know, I have people back east that I know that look at an astroscope and they read it and they're right away their response is like, wow, this says a whole lot. You know, it says I could be one way or the other, or it says that a lot of people could be like this. They're totally agnostic to even wanting to understand the astroscope. And then you give the chart to someone that's into meditation and they've just become conscious and they're on a road to consciousness and they'll look at it and they'll go, yes, wow, that essence of my vibration, that Scorpio moon, that intensity, that erraticism, that overwhelming joy or intense depression, that deep passion, that compassion, that caring that I know I am, that is explained in the astroscope, is so true, Farley. Instead of sitting there and writing it off and saying, well, everyone's intense, and everyone's passionate, and everyone's compassionate. That's not true. Everyone's not intense. Everyone's not like Farley. When you plug into your higher consciousness, you would be amazed at sometimes what the miracles and the visions and the revelations and the realizations. Do you know, when the sacred ancients wrote the Bible, do you know what they were doing? These were individuals just like you and I that had the same prototype of consciousness that we have, that were meditating and that were getting visions and that were getting revelations about God and trying to explain it to an unconscious generation of primitive individuals 5,000 years ago. Give me a break. In the age of Aries, much less. Where consciousness was so far away from what we have now, you know, we're in the periphery right now where the right side of the brain is starting to turn around for people left and right. People are awakening all over the place. And why do you think we're having so many rapid changes? You get somebody like a Gorbachev that might have been unconscious his whole life, and then all of a sudden, boom, his right side of the brain starts accessing. He plugs into his humanitarianism, and all of a sudden we have glasnost, and all of a sudden we have the Berlin Wall disappears. You know, all of a sudden we get all these humanitarian changes, and this is what the planet needs to make it. We need to plug into this prototype, to this consciousness, and it starts with the individual. Like a forest fire blazing uncontrollably, is the way consciousness will overcome this planet. I believe that. I am convinced that one day there will be an expo where people will be able to come for free, where people will be able to exchange information, services, and products for free, where no longer will there be such a major, massive materialistic need for this show or for the expo or for anything, where finally we will be bonded and united under one consciousness, fully aware of this prototype in which we are. And, you know, that's the dream I have. I have the dream of finding that many people one day, hundreds of people, to put up hundreds of booths in the middle of some massive acreage that someone will donate, and have millions of people come to that expo. And that, to me, will be a universal expo, where people can come and exchange, and there won't be people trying to hustle you for this or hawk you for that. How do you know, when you go to something like that, who's really truly spiritual and who's really just out there for the money? Do people that run these conventions, do they sit there and qualify and get applications from everyone to make sure they're for real? Or do they just take their money and say, okay, we'll sell you a booth? How do you know? But if that was for free, if there was an expo one day where they could have all these people there that would offer their services to whoever came to that expo just out of love, wouldn't that really be something? Wouldn't that be a major leap for mankind at that point? It'd be something. It does. It really does. When you think about the fact that maybe there are 1,000 booths at a convention and they're going for $800 each, that's $800,000. Getting 100,000 people coming at $20 a piece. We're talking about a couple million bucks here for a weekend. Too bad we couldn't give that money to the homeless, right? I'm not trying to put anything down. I'm not trying to say I'm mad or angry at anything. You know, this world is based on things, on values right now that are rapidly changing. And there's a fine line between what you think truth is and where further truth is. And as far as I'm concerned, the only way you can find truth is inside yourself, in meditation. And when you access that essence, when you access that vibration, it's going to open up a whole new realm of understanding to you, an entire new realm. You might want to get into something like astrology or numerology at that point. You might want to find out more about things like your karma and your essence or crystals. You know, you might want to take a flight out of your body at that point because your fear is gone. And you might plug into the oneness and the connection that you then have with all people. And in that way, intuitively feel whether a person is conscious or not and know the difference. And know that unconscious people are ones that really, without knowing this prototype, who knows how they are going to treat you or use you or react to you. Would you rather marry someone that is conscious or unconscious? That's the question. Well, I'm not trying to turn this into a political editorial, and I'm not trying to say that I disagree with what people do with their lives. Sometimes I get angry because of what I see which goes on under the surface. And sometimes I see people acting like sheep, following sheep herders. And I don't like that. I'm tired of seeing people act like sheep. I want to see people act like God, the Messiah, you know? And so that's what I envision, a utopian situation where all people can bond together with no separation and no hustling. Anyway, this is a different kind of radio show. It's a different kind of topic today, too. And there's 27 minutes of commercial-free just for you. Funny thing about people that become conscious. Once they become conscious, what happens is it opens a whole new world. Your priorities change, your values change, your interests change, things you want to study are different. Suddenly, you look at astrology different. And, you know, this show is an entire riddle. You know, this show is a riddle to help people become conscious. That's really what I want. I want people to plug into this power inside of themselves. The Jesus Christ within. That's right. Pretty heavy. Some people, you'd hear some people say that. They go, oh, Farley, why? Is anybody out there listening? I hope so. But understanding things like karma and your unique path, your mission in life, and the astrological ingredients that help encourage this growth, this consciousness, are things that your soul already knows. These are things that your higher self has already confirmed. And once you access that, it helps you understand who you are, what you are, and why you're doing what you're doing. This show, and I'm not putting those shows down, but the reason why I think the success about the Astrology Hour, why we were on every day for 6 years, is because we are trying to help you help yourselves become your own fortune tellers and your own counselors.